This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Faye Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, weekends are different than they used to be, but I'm adjusting.
Weekends are different than they used to be. That's an understatement of the year.
It is an understatement. You know, I don't ever see anybody. You know, I see the llamas. I see the little children. And, you know, that's about it. I talk to my office every day. I'm talking to clients every day. But I'm not seeing them in, you know, in the flesh.
Yeah, it's different to interact with all the people that you used to interact with when you can only see them on the screen. You don't get to, you know, shake their hand or, you know, it's different. It has a whole different dynamic.
That's right. And I'm hoping that they will very quickly find a vaccine, a cure. I don't care how they do it. You know, I'm all for all the scientists, all the biologists, all the doctors working on this. I want them to find it and find it quick and get us back where everybody is making a living, where they're all working and happy, and we're out shopping.
That's true. And I don't want to put any false hope in anybody, but I think I saw something, and it changes, I know, every hour. But the last time I saw, they had some real promising signs of some vaccine that they were testing in animals that showed some promise. So hopefully...
Yes, that is the llama testing.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know they were testing llamas.
Yes, they have some kind of an antibody they think may work. I think it was in Australia where they were testing these llamas.
So,
and they think that might work.
You have antibodies in your backyard.
I do. And, man, I would put them to work. You know, and say, let's draw a little blood today.
There you go. I wonder if maybe you could sell something to science, make a little money, maybe help some people out. You might have a whole new business.
It might have a whole new deal there. But I'm hoping that the schools open. You know, every parent is praying for the schools to open in August because, you know, they've had it with all this Zoom and having the kids at home and teaching two or three children, you know. I know it's hard on everybody. I know all about it.
Yeah.
I know how much homework it takes. I know all these science projects. So whatever happens, I'm hoping that we may not be back to normal for a long time, but maybe we could get halfway there.
That would be nice.
I think it would, too. I would like for it to get far enough along that we don't all have to wear a mask, which now you should wear a mask if you go to the grocery store, the pharmacy, anywhere where there's a lot of people. That one biologist said yesterday, it's not the small group where you're probably going to catch something. It's if you go to church or a grocery store, a pharmacy, where a lot of people are coming in and out.
Yeah.
So that's how you're going to get exposed.
As the people that you're around increases, so does your chance for exposure.
That's exactly it. So if everybody just limit, you know, the people who are around for a while, I know everybody is stir crazy. They've got to get out of the house. But, you know, limit going somewhere where there's other people. And a lot of the restaurants that reopened, they can't open but 25%. So a lot of them said, no, we'll just wait. And the only ones I've seen that have opened is the ones that have patios.
Mm.
And they're letting them sit out on the patio.
Yeah.
And then we've got some restaurants in Fort Worth that just closed permanently. Hofbräu had a location there for 50 years, and they closed it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
And I know several, you know, places have closed, and they're not going to – several restaurants are not even going to reopen.
Wow, that's a shame.
It is a shame. They were doing good. Everybody was doing so well. And that, you know, being closed for 2 months is just too much for some of the little companies.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, you know, a lot of times those small restaurants, not the chains, but the small ones, you know, they're individually owned or even some are franchised that may not be doing well as well. And that's kind of like their whole business. They put their heart and soul in it for a lifetime in some cases. And now it's just gone. They're not sure what to do.
Well, and McDonald's said some of their franchisees are in trouble because they absolutely just closed during this time. They didn't even do the driveway, and they said they may have to loan them millions. I think they said $10 billion or something like that. It was a huge amount. They said they might have to loan the people that have franchises with them.
Wow. Yeah. I think I had heard that there's a group, and it might be McDonald's, it might be, I think it was McDonald's, but some employees were filing a lawsuit because, and I'm sorry if I don't have the details exactly right, but I think it was something about they weren't doing the proper safety precautions or something, and so they were filing some kind of a lawsuit.
Okay.
Which doesn't say much.
Well, that's typical. That's typical. Everybody wants to get in on it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. It's definitely different, that's for sure.
Yes, I would say so. It's a different time for everybody. But now the good side of it is our business is thriving. Our business is doing good. Our clients are doing good. You know, I talked the other day about all the maturities. And several of those maturities are now in the bank. Calafumo was the first one. Then Lecter, and now Leader is in the bank, and Robinson. So all those are in the bank. People have got their money again on those, and that's a good thing. And we've still got a lot more to come that we're waiting on the death certificates before it goes over to the insurance company. So we've got all that, and this week we were awarded about $2.5 million in new policies that we'll be putting out.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, we bought them and we were thankful to get them. They're great policies. All of them, like they usually are, they're all stage 4 cancer with all different ages and all different kinds of cancer.
Wow.
So I can't wait to present that to our clients and get them on board with that.
Cool. Well, let's talk about making money. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And don't forget, your website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. People can go there and find tons of information, find out what people have made on past investments. They can read testimonials, learn a little bit more about the program. And so I guess the real big takeaway here from what we've already learned in the last couple of minutes is that, one, there are a ton of policies that are now coming available in the near future because you just got awarded some new ones. And while a lot of other people are either not making money or losing money, your clients are thriving, right?
My clients are thriving. All the ones that have come to, you know, people, some of them were in multiple policies, and that's a good thing. So we know that a lot of people have already had at least 2 maturities this year. And then some of our new people were in that one that came in early. So, you know, I think things are really moving along. You know, they're averaging about 24% on their investment right now, and I think that's really good. It's different than other investments, you know. It's conservative. It doesn't go down in value. The insurance company is going to pay you the face amount of that policy when it matures. It's not one of these deals they're going to discount it. You will get exactly what the contract calls for.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it doesn't happen in the stock market.
No, that's for sure. And I had heard something this week about how there are more people now, and I'm sorry, I can't even source this one. I can't even remember where I heard it. But I thought I heard something about how more people are starting to abandon their policies and just leaving, you know, that money sitting there, which is, I guess, how that translates to a benefit for investors is that there's just more money that they have on hand. And I know that you always say that these life insurance companies have to have you know, so much in reserves, but I guess this is just more money that they've got just piling up that they don't have to pay out ever in policies. It's just what people have paid in and then stop the
That's
policy.
Right. If they abandon their policies or let it go, that money just stays in the till at the insurance company, and they don't have the liability. They got all that premium maybe for 10 years, maybe 15. And if they walk away and leave it, then they get it. Then they laugh and say, okay, let's do this again, you know. I mean, it's a pretty good deal. If you can do that, and a percentage of them will always let it lapse.
Yeah.
They'll go along, and they start paying on it pretty good, and somewhere in the middle or somewhere, they say, oh, well, I don't really need that. I don't want to pay for that. And they'll let it drop.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if people have $1 million or $5 million, they probably wouldn't. But people that have, you know, small policies, $200,000 or $300,000, yes, they let them go every day.
Yeah, yeah. And so all the premiums that they had paid in, they're never going to pay out, and it's free money for the insurance companies. And what this all means, and why we focus on this, is because that goes to really, I guess, the security of this type of investment. And that's what people are, I think, a little skittish about, is because they're investing in things like Wall Street, say. And there's nothing there to keep that value. There's nothing there to say that anything that does make money will actually be able to pay out. You never know from day to day, hour to hour, minute by minute. But with a life insurance policy, it is steady, it is solid. And that's really, I guess, the core of why this is so stable for people, right?
I think so, because they can rely on it. They want something right now that's solid, that can rely on it. We have a new customer from California. And he's friends with one of our clients here in Midland. And he called this week and said, you know, his friend been telling him about us, and he decided, you know, he needs to diversify. He said, I can't afford to be 100% in the stock market and with the downturn. So, you know, he's bringing some of his money over to us, and we've had several people lately that said, look, one guy said, I intended to do this in March, and then things got really bad. He said, I've already lost $60,000. I think I better move it now. So, you know, he moved a large sum with us. And this happens every day. People realize, you know, that they've got too much in the stock market and enough on a solid investment.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about. It's about having that solid foundation. We talk all the time, even before all this happened, about how the stock market is so willy-nilly, and it can change, you know, literally with the wind based on nothing, and anything can affect the stock market. You know, if somebody sneezes the wrong way, you know, the whole thing could crash. I mean, it's really built on a deck of cards, but a life insurance policy is solid, and that's one of the big things, because when those policies mature, they're going to pay out, they have the funds, and it holds its value. It's not like they're going to discount anything at any time for any reason.
That's exactly right, and that's what I love about the investment. You know going in what you're going to make. You know what the interest is that you're going to make. You know how it's going to work, that you're going to get your principal and interest back, and it doesn't matter if it comes in early, you're going to get the same amount. If it comes in on time, let's say it's a 24-month policy, you're going to make 24% if it comes in early, if it comes in late, or if it comes in on time. You're still going to get 24%. That's it. So you know all this. It used to be page 14, and now it's five pages from the end. But it tells you everything. It tells you who the customer is, the client that we're buying the policy from, what life insurance company, what their rating is, what the face amount of the policy is, and how much you're investing. And if it goes over, it tells you what the premiums will be. So that's the best of all worlds.
I can't think of any other investment that has that much information laid out really from the beginning.
That's right. And so you know going in everything. And the other thing is you've got all we've sent you the medical records, you know, which is good. And if you've got all that, you know going in what kind of policy it is, how sick they are, you know everything about them.
So let's break all this down, because I know we're talking about percentages. We're talking about, you know, all these fundamental things that that make this such a great investment for so many people and so profitable. But what we're talking about is actually a life insurance policy. So break this down. How does a life insurance policy, I guess when it comes down to the core, how does how do people make money off of policies?
Well, we buy the policy for a different amount than the face amount. Like if the face amount is $1 million, we may have paid $800,000 for it. So the client's going to make the difference between that $800,000 and that $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
So it works the same. It doesn't matter if it's a $100,000 policy or whatever. We buy it. They discount their policy to us where that they can get some quick money. So if you've got cancer and you need, you know, faster money, this is the way to do it. You sell the policy to us. We put our investors in it, and they make the spread. They make the difference between what we paid for it and what the face amount is.
So that's where the profit margin is. So, for
example, that's where your profit is. Yes,
there's $1 million. excuse me, $1 million policy, and you pay. And I'm just making numbers up here, but say you pay $750 for it. That $250,000 difference. That's where people make their money.
That's exactly right. And they know going in what they're going to make. They just sit back and wait. It's not like when you're in the stock market, you're getting up at midnight every day to check it. And with this downturn, people are probably checking it four times a day. And with this, you don't have to check it every day. You don't have to check it every week even. All you do is sit back and wait, and then we email them as soon as the maturity occurs. When that person passes away, our clients know it. And so then they know what they've made, and then we get the death certificate, and that takes about 6 weeks. And once we have that, and we send it to the carrier, and they pay, and we put the money in their account.
So essentially, with this type of investment, if somebody's got the money and they've got the patience, they're good to go.
That's exactly right. And remember, you must be accredited. You need to either make $200,000 every year, or your assets have to be worth $1 million without your house. But a lot of people, there's a lot of things they can count. If they have a ranch or they have a business, that counts. CDs in the bank, their 401k, an IRA counts, a Roth counts, an inherited IRA counts. And we have a lot of people anymore that have inherited IRAs.
Hmm. Interesting.
So, yeah, so all of that counts as your assets. And a lot of people aren't sure, and they'll go home and add it up to be sure they have the right amount of assets.
Mm-hmm. So basically everything counts except for your main residence.
That's right. You can have a cottage, you can have a lake house, all those things count.
All right. And I think a lot of people forget about them, especially when it comes to like past 401ks. Don't you run into a lot of people that forgot that maybe a past job they had maybe 15 years ago, 20 years ago, they had a 401k and they forgot about it?
Yes, and they forgot. And when we start talking about it, they go, well, I'm going to look up at my former employer and see if I had anything there. Yeah, they still have some money there. So we roll that over. And a lot of people don't realize when they come to us, we'll do an IRA rollover or a 401k rollover, and there's no taxes due. That's what everybody's always afraid of. Well, I owe taxes. Well, I have to pay taxes. No, we just do a rollover, and it's just like what you had.
So people can easily transition from whatever setup they have to doing a life settlement type of investment, not have to pay taxes, and just kind of basically smoothly roll on as though nothing happened, although it really, you get things in order to be a much more stable type of investment.
That's right. I think it's one of the most stable things on earth. And, of course, a lot of people are discovering it. There's more and more life settlement companies coming on board every day. I mean, I'm hearing from them. You know, they're brand new companies, but I'm hearing from them. You know, they've just gotten started. And they're seeing what the potential to make money is.
You know, and that's kind of a good segue into this other point, because I know we see lots of companies on TV. You know, we see these commercials, we hear them on the radio where people are, you know, hey, come to us and sell your policy, you know, doing, you know, things like reverse mortgages. So there's all these different things that are going on for people to, I guess, quote, make money. But the difference is the types of insurance policies that you're buying. You're not just buying any willy-nilly thing for people. people who are still living their life and just want a little extra money or whatever the case may be, you're looking at buying very specific policies. And this is another aspect of the investment that makes it so profitable. It's the types of policies you get, right?
That's exactly right. And we're only doing stage four cancer. We're not doing the elderly. You know, we've already been there and done that, got burned. And so, you know, we have a cutoff on ours. We try not to do anyone over 75 to 76. In fact, most of our people that have cancer are in their 40s and 50s and 60s. Very seldom are they over that. And cancer is getting them early, I'll just tell you. Seems like earlier and earlier to me all the time. But it's one of the few investments that I think is just straightforward. It's solid. You know what you're going to make going in. That's what you're going to make. It's 1% a month. I mean, it couldn't be plainer than that.
So if somebody has, we'll just run some hypothetical numbers here, and I know this is oversimplified, but say somebody is in a policy for $100,000. It's an 18-month policy. That means on that investment, they're going to make $18,000, and that's it. That's all there is to it.
As I said, you know what you're going to make going in. Now, in the last 2 months, we had trouble getting death certificates because of this virus. Mm-hmm. We had to figure out a new way to get death certificates again. You know, last summer we figured out a new way. Now we had to figure out a new way when all these offices are closed. So, you know, we're changing with the times to keep everything running, you know, where we can get our death certificates, where we can get people paid. And hopefully we're going to get that back, you know, a little faster than it has been in the last 2 months.
When we explain the policy like this, and it sounds like really straightforward and it's really simple, you invest in a policy and then you wait for it to mature and then you get paid and invest in more. Do people wait for the other shoe to drop? Because it seems like, well, there's got to be more to this than that, right?
There's not any more to it. It's simple. You're buying into a life insurance policy on someone that's got stage four cancer. It's just that simple. So you're joining some other people into a policy. There may be eight people in that policy. There might be 10.
So
different amounts.
Going through the thought process, probably at this point, people who are new to it, looking for other options, people may be listening for the first time and kind of trying to understand how this works. The next logical question I'm thinking would be, where do these policies come from? How do you even get these?
Well, we use several huge providers, as they're called, life providers. Now, in Texas, we buy direct. We can deal with anybody direct in Texas. Now, out of state, we have to buy from a licensed provider. So they're the ones that get the policies and bring them to us. And then they send us the information to see if we're interested. Like this last week, we were awarded $2.5 million, but we bid on probably $5 million.
Mm.
Yeah, and we didn't get them all. But sometimes you don't. But we did get a lot of good policies, and that's how we get them. Is that we bid on those policies every day. We're bidding on something. I know one day last week seems like I had three or four. So you know, and because of this virus, we're having more maturities. As I said, 21st Services said it would be 12 times more than what it has been in the past.
Because people can't go get therapy.
That's right. They've ran all the numbers down their computers. That's just what they came up with.
Yeah.
It would be 12 times as much as what we usually have.
So since people can't get into facilities to get the chemo and radiation, are they looking for other therapies, you know, like spring water therapy or the orange juice treatment?
I hope not, but I'm afraid they are.
Yeah.
You know, we've had a lot of that where the people just go out here and they'll try anything rather than going and doing chemo, which is bad, and radiation.
So,
and then you've got clinical trials.
Oh.
A lot of people are in clinical trials, and that if your cancer, if they don't see any hope in it, they'll kick you out of the clinical trials.
Wow.
They won't let you just stay.
Wow. So when people are looking at this and they say, well, okay, this is great, Faye, but why would anybody have to sell their policy?
Because they need the money for the cancer treatment. And then some of them have already spent the money. Now they're reimbursing, their checking account, so to speak, with what they've already spent.
On treatment.
And if they didn't need the money, they would not be selling their policy.
And so we know the statistics. We know the numbers of stage four cancer, and that's what I mean. If you were to bid on, say, for example, stage one or stage two or even three in some cases, we know that there's a chance that people can beat that, and those policies may not mature for years and years and years. The point of doing stage four is, one, it helps the original policyholder so that they can get that lump sum of money, and the other thing is that it has quicker returns and profit margins are a little bit more healthy. Is that accurate to say?
I think so. If you're doing a stage one or stage two, you don't know if they're even going to pass away. They may get cured. You know, if they catch it early, it may not come back for 5 years, or it might go away completely. So it would be a heck of a risk to do a stage one.
Yeah. Yeah, and so just because it says stage four, when you have an option to bid on it, you know, you go through these policies with a fine-tooth comb. And just because it says stage four doesn't mean you're going to bid on it, right? I mean, I would assume you've turned down some stage fours for a good reason.
That's right. Well, you know, all the things I look for. I look for the scoring on it. I'm looking for if they're obese. I'm looking at what cancer medicines they're on. Are they on a lot of pain medication? That tells you how bad it is when they're on so much pain medication that they say this person isn't responding well. Well, they've taken so much medication that affects them also. And then if they're obese, that makes a difference. And if they have, it depends if they're a diabetic. There's just a lot of things that really slows them down and makes this cancer get the best of them.
So it almost sounds like these reports are very detailed. It's a very well-informed investment, but it's not just the data. It's how you interpret it. You know, so if it says, you know, somebody's out on the golf course, anybody can read that. But what that means to you, you internalize that, and you're like, okay, if they're out on the golf course, they're not in a hospital, they're not in pain, they're living their life, that means that probably the cancer
is
not...
They're going to be around a while.
Exactly, yeah. So it hasn't advanced like a lot of policies, and so there are much more attractive policies. So you're really going through these, and people have access before they even invest in any of these policies. You show them all this information, and they can see it all for themselves.
That's exactly right. We want them to. I want them to be informed. I want them to make an intelligent decision. I want them to say, yes, I bought that policy. It's this kind of cancer, and according to FACE sources, they say this is how long it's going to be.
Do you find that new investors to the whole program go through those reports more than people maybe who have been with you for a while?
I think they probably do. I know a lot of times they'll call and ask questions. Mm-hmm. They'll say, well, tell me about this part or tell me about that part. So, you know, they may have questions.
And then as people are with you for a while, I assume they're like, okay, Faye, if you say this policy is good, put me in it. I've done well in the past. Let's just keep going.
That's right. And I've had people call me and say, I don't think I'm going to go in that policy. I've called them back and said, okay, tell me what you don't like about it. I just bought it, so you know I think it's good. So we'll go over it, and then they say, oh, okay, I'll go ahead and go in it. You know. So sometimes we just need to talk it out, and I'll tell them what I'm looking at versus what they thought they saw.
What kind of things concern people when they do that? What kinds of things do they say? I'm not sure.
I think the progression. Sometimes the progression means one thing. Sometimes it means another. But if it says no progression, that doesn't mean they don't have cancer. It means it's just sitting there. You know? And it could still be a stage four and be a short-term one. Mm-hmm. But the ones that we have to look for is there is no sign of cancer at this time.
Mm.
And when it says that, and it does lots of times, it says we can't see the cancer. But if you can't see it, we don't want to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, from an investment, that's not a good route to go down.
No, because every once in a while, it'll say, you know, they've been doing chemo, they've been doing radiation, the tumors have all shrank. And they said, we just can't see it at this time. Well, I just cannot imagine anybody, you know, buying it if they can't see it.
When people come see you for the first time, they're interested in the investment. They've never done anything like this before, and they sit down and they talk to you. What's one of the biggest questions that they ask right off the bat? What do they say coming in?
How long will it take to get the money invested? Is it going to take a month, 2 months? They want to know about that. They want to know how it works. And when they make money, does it go back into their account? And it does. Things like that. They just want to know how quick they'll get started. That's usually the big question anymore, is how long will it take me to get in some policies?
So it seems like the questions may have shifted a little bit over time from really how does it work to, you know, how soon can I get in on this?
I think it does. I think it has shifted to how soon can I get my money working. Right now, everybody wants their money working. They want it solid. They don't want the risk of the stock market. That's why they come to us.
Do you find that when people come in for the first time that they want to get in as many policies as possible right off the bat, or do they want to start with maybe one, see how it works, and then go from there?
Well, most people come with $300,000 or $400,000, so they're going to buy a lot of policies. And then some may come with the minimum, which is $100,000. If they come with the minimum, then we can probably put them in two policies.
Okay. So there's a number of different options.
Once they see how that works, then they usually put more in.
Okay. All right. It's just kind of like, you know, getting over that hump of, I guess, maybe the unknown or going into a territory they're not familiar with. And then after they kind of see how it works, then they jump all in.
Well, and it's like, you know, once they were in the stock market and they know how that turned out, didn't turn out real well. So, you know, so now they're coming over to us real cautiously, you know, putting a couple hundred or 300 in to start with just to see how it works. And then when they start having maturities, then they always increase it and give us more.
The stock market didn't turn out real good.
No, it did not turn out real good.
All right. Well, these are all investments, but there's a big picture. We'll see how all of these individual investments come together for the big picture to get people prepared for retirement, not only before, but during and after retirement. We'll see how it can, when you put all the pieces together, how it helps grow people's wealth exponentially. We'll get into that here in a few minutes. But for right now, this is Your Money with Faye Bagby, and your phone number is...
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
Every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
It is Memorial Day weekend.
Of course it is.
I mean, you know, it's time to honor all of our fallen heroes. And, you know, I was just thinking about it. Usually on Memorial Day, you know, they're putting flags out on every grave. They're cleaning the cemetery. Everybody goes and visits their loved ones. And it's a different world now. There's not going to be the flags out. There's not going to be the ceremonies we're used to. It's just, you know, with this virus deal, it's completely different. They've canceled all this. Usually we have the F-16s. All these different planes fly over, as you know. Mm-hmm. The Thunderbirds, all the famous ones, the Blue Angels. I don't know if any of that's even going to happen this year.
Yeah, parades, that's always a big one.
Parades, we always have lots of parades in observance of it. Now, you remember that Memorial Day started out as Decoration Day.
That's right. We talked about this 1 year. I don't remember the particulars, but yeah, I remember that one.
It was. And if you remember, the very first things to honor our fallen were during the Civil War, not afterward. It actually happened during the Civil War, and these women in the South started putting flowers on the graves.
Really?
And then, of course, after the Civil War, all these different states claimed they were the first ones. And it's been a contention for years is who really started Decoration Day. And on May 5th, 1868, General John Logan issued a proclamation for Decoration Day to be observed annually and nationwide. He was Commander-in-Chief of the Grand Army of the Republic. And they say it was formed in Decatur, Illinois.
What year was that?
That was 1868.
Okay, so it was right Civil War. Yeah, you're right. Civil War was still going on.
Yeah, and so they were starting that. And then later, what's amazing to me is Memorial Day was not actually adopted till 1967 by our Congress. Can you believe that?
It seems like it should have been much earlier than that.
It should have. But the name Memorial Day, it started out 1882, but it became really Decoration Day after World War II, but was not declared official by federal law till 1967 by Congress.
Wow.
And they passed the Uniform Holiday Act, which where everybody would know what day you know, each holiday was on. And, you know, they changed several of them. They would change them. They'd have them one day, then they'd all get in a roar up there in Congress and change it to another day. I mean, they couldn't always agree on stuff up there. You know that.
No,
you know about those people.
No. You got it all wrong.
Yeah. But there's five or six states. All of them said they started Decoration Day. Of course, and you know, it was the unions. They declared it their deal, their holiday, early because unions were big in the North. So they claimed that they were the ones that started it also. So it's always the last Monday in May.
You know, it seems like this should – it's hard to believe that this all got approved during our lifetime. It seems like it should have been something from, like officially done, like, a couple hundred years ago. It just seems so weird that we've been through all this.
Yeah, I mean, you start out in 1868, and it doesn't even become official national holiday, you know, until 100 years later almost, you know, until 1968. It's when they finally, Congress passed the law on it, 1968. Can you imagine?
How could it almost, I know that Washington is a little bit slow, but how could it take almost a century to get this thing approved in a final version? It's weird.
I guess because of Washington, anything they touch, it does take a long time.
That's true.
And a lot of things didn't happen until after World War II. You mm-hmm. know, a lot of it didn't.
Yeah.
So I don't understand it either. But, of course, it's also the unofficial start of a summer.
That's true.
You know, and, you know, they have cannons at some of these military parades I've been to. They have all your militaries there. I love seeing the generals and the colonels and, you know, Navy people that always comes and speaks. But I always find that very, very strong moving about our country.
Yeah.
And, of course, this year is going to be completely different. I don't know if you'll even see a soul.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. The sad thing is I hope the tradition and the meaning behind it doesn't get lost if these gatherings, you know, have to be, you know, I guess put on hold this year. Hopefully the meaning behind them won't get lost in years to come.
Well, that's what I'm hoping. And, of course, not being able to put the flags out, that's a big deal. You know, we've always had flags at our national cemeteries, especially at every grave, and we won't have that this year. And, of course, you know, Dallas-Fort Worth, you know, has the National Cemetery. We have the National Cemetery in Washington, D.C. You know, those are important ones. And the Unknown Soldier up there, you know, at Arlington National Cemetery. And we've always had all this, and everything has changed so much. It looks like we won't be celebrating all this that we should be this year.
Yeah, and I know, like you said, it's the unofficial start of summer, and I know a lot of people, you know, get more wrapped up in barbecues and gatherings and pool parties and whatever. But this is the one that actually means something. Now, obviously, July 4th is a huge celebration, fireworks and all that, but this is the one that has big meaning behind it.
That's right. Look at the millions of soldiers we have lost that served our country and that did this where we didn't have to go over there. A lot of people forget about that. If we weren't sending people to war, our country would not be protected. They're doing it over in other foreign countries where we won't have to be invaded, where we won't have to go to war.
Exactly.
And if they didn't sacrifice their life, it wouldn't mean anything.
very dangerous conditions and situations.
Very dangerous, and they know it. And yet, I've known people that serve 3 or 4 tours because they're committed to their country, and they believe in freedom. And you know, freedom has a price.
Oh yeah,
freedom is not free.
No, that is true. I know it's a saying, it's a slogan, but it actually is it is true. It has more meaning than people
think.
Yeah,
it's absolute truth.
Yeah.
Somebody has to sacrifice, and these guys have sacrificed so much, and their families. Think about this. The families of the fallen have sacrificed so much in the loss of their sons and husbands.
Yeah. Yeah, they have. So it's not always just the service person who served, but it's the families that are left behind. And a lot of times, military service is something that runs through a family from generation to generation. So that that tradition of serving gets handed down over and over.
Well, and my secretary, her son is now at West Point.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
That's a big deal.
It is a big deal. He went to West Point a year ago.
Wow. Congratulations.
And you know you have to be recommended by one of your congressmen and all this to even get into West Point.
Yeah, you don't just walk in the door.
You cannot just go apply. There's all kinds of things that have to happen before you can get into West Point.
Yeah. That's a big show of character right there. Goodness.
Yeah, it's really a big deal on character building. If you're that kind of person, you've got a good chance of getting in. And, of course, her family is exemplary. So we're proud of that.
Yeah, really. Well, tell her congratulations.
I will. So Memorial Day is something we don't want to forget. We want to remember everybody that has fallen. It doesn't matter if it was during the Civil War, World War I, World War II, the Vietnam War, the Korean War. Look how many wars we have had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so there is people in our cemeteries, our national cemeteries especially, from all different wars.
And so even though these gatherings that we would normally have where we go and decorate the cemetery or, the parades that we may have or different ceremonies and services that we may have may not be happening as usual, it's still important to take a couple of minutes and say a few words, have your own, moment of thanks and appreciation. Wherever you are, even if it's just in your backyard.
That's exactly right, because we don't want to ever forget. If we forget about them, we're not very American, I can tell you.
Yeah. It would be a shame if some of the traditions, fall by the wayside, because, we had to take a year off from some of the ceremonies.
And I'm hoping that by next year, things will be back like they ought to. We will be in person at every one of these memorial services. The flags will be on the graves, and we will, hear some fabulous music. They always have, the bands, the Air Force band and all this. Mm-hmm. And it means a lot to us as Americans.
It does. It does. Even if you just go to a random jamboree or a barbecue cookout, it's all part of, honoring, those who have served and their families as well, because they paid the price,
right,
too.
They paid a big price also. So when we do it, this is one of the few holidays that is really, really important to all of us.
Yeah.
Like you said, July 4th is fun, but this is serious.
Yeah, it is. Go and, have a barbecue or safely or, do what you need to do. But don't forget really what this holiday is all about. I do worry, though, about what may happen with if people do try to, gather at, beaches or, have these large pool parties or big, huge backyard barbecues with tons and tons of people. I worry about what might happen if people aren't careful.
They need to be really careful. I am not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere near people. I'm still not going to do it because I do not feel safe yet. If we have to wear a mask everywhere, which I'm doing for safety. If you go to the grocery store, you need a mask. If you're going to the drugstore, you need a mask on. Don't be macho and not wear a mask.
Yeah, don't be a hero.
Don't be a hero, because you're going to infect someone or you're going to catch something from somebody.
Yeah.
And they said, that where all of this started up there in Oregon, it was at a church social. And these people all went and they sang in the choir. Then they went to the fellowship hall and they ate together. and one person had the virus.
Oh, man.
And it infected 64 people.
Oh, boy.
And what that tells you, they said, is just talking, the virus spread. You know, not only singing and open your mouth, but they said that when they went and sat together and this person talked to them during the meal is how they all got it.
Because it's airborne and it travels.
It's airborne and it goes a long way. It's not like anything we've ever known.
Yeah, you don't have to lick somebody to get it.
So you don't want to be in a crowd. They say, you know, the smallest amount of people you can be around, the better.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah. I know that biologist yesterday was saying, for him and his family, he has two kinds of masks.
Really? Oh, I.
Yeah, he said, if he's at somewhere he thinks is more dangerous, he's putting on this heavier mask. And he's using the disposable ones if it's just to the grocery store or somewhere like that.
Well, that's a good idea, having several with different, I guess, degrees of protection.
That's what he was saying. And, you know, and our children, you know, we don't want to get our children exposed to anything or get them out somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, we need to keep them safe.
Yeah. And children, the thing with children is they like to touch stuff, like doorknobs and whatever.
Oh, they touch everything, yes.
Yeah, then they'll stick their hands in their mouth and lick their fingers. And
you're right about
some
that.
Of us still do, but, you know, that's a different thing.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, we know who does that.
Yeah. Me, not you.
There you go.
So, yeah, if anybody is getting out this weekend, don't. And then the thing that kind of concerns me is that, you know, people look at it as, wow, first, you know, unofficial start of summer, first weekend of, you know, whatever being open. Let's get out and let's just go crazy. Everything's open. Let's go nuts. You know, please still be careful and, you know, be responsible.
Yep, you need to be careful and use your common sense.
Yeah.
And if you're not sure about it, don't do it.
Yeah, exactly. Stay home if it's at all possible. And I know everybody goes to the grocery store and buys meat, so there's probably tons of people going to the store right now stocking up on barbecue stuff and charcoal and, you know, propane gas tanks.
You know that you can order it. If you thought early enough, you can order it and they'll bring it to the house.
That's true.
The grocery stores all deliver.
Yeah. They're booming right now, I think, those deliveries.
Oh, they're booming because of the delivery business.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are like me. I'm saying, why take the risk?
Exactly.
There's no reason to.
Mm-mm. No. Do you wash your cans and all the groceries when they come in?
Yes.
Brilliant.
Soap and water.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, soap and water. They got to be bathed.
You might be the cleanest person I know.
I doubt that, but yes. even boxes that have got cereal in, we wash those boxes off.
Yeah, yeah. Does it compromise the cardboard?
Well, it doesn't seem to. You know, I'm scrubbing it up.
No, but I've said that. Something's going to happen. You know that's how it works.
Yeah, and it'll crumble, and I'll be going, uh-oh, too much.
It's my fault. So have a great Memorial Day weekend between today, tomorrow, and if you got Monday off, great. Remember what it's all about, and really just be safe this weekend.
That's exactly right.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is...
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
I think it's important to zoom out, if you will, and see how the whole process works. Because I know we got talking about, you know, the stability of the investment. We talked about how the money is going to be there to pay out from life insurance companies. We talked about, you know, the types of policies that you're buying. We're talking about how it keeps its value. We've talked all about these really specific things, but let's zoom out a little bit. How does the whole thing work as a whole, as a big picture for people's retirement?
Well, if they're getting ready to retire, you know, they're going to need a certain amount of money. So you have to keep investing in order to keep your interest going. One of our clients this week said his company convinced him to take early retirement. And I said, and how much are you going to need? And so he said one investment he's got, he's going to take 4%. So people are not taking as much out of their investment as I'm used to them taking. They've been taking more than that, but it looks like they're going to pare it down a little bit because 4% is pretty small. So what they're doing is they're trying to figure out how they're going to live for 25 years. I always say 25. Surely you'll make it that long. If you don't, you know, we're going to plan for it anyway. So if you've got $300,000, you need to say, okay, I need this much in interest every year. This person, we're going to leave $25,000 in the bank for them. Keep everything else invested. And from us, that'll be enough where he can take, you know, $2,000 a month. Then we'll replenish it as we go along. But we're not going to keep a lot of cash there, but enough where that with his Social Security and his other investments, he needs $5,000 a month, about $5,000. So altogether, he will have about $5,000. And that's what we're going to do. And if everybody's getting ready for retirement, they need to save by investing as much as they can. You don't want your money just sitting there. If you're just all in cash, how are you going to make enough extra money to live on? You know, this is what we're doing. We're trying to get enough money to retire successfully and happy and healthy. And the only way to do it is keep investing even after you retire.
So if I understand right, from what you're saying, it sounds like people are looking for more conservative types of investment, like a life settlement, but they're also being conservative with how they divvy up their profits. They're leaving more in the bank as a reserve. Is that right?
That's exactly right. They're not going to be taking as much cash right now. I thought some of them would take more cash, but they're not. They're taking less cash than what my other clients are taking.
Okay.
And I've got some of my clients that are taking a good amount.
How long should somebody plan on doing something like this? If somebody says, well, geez, Faye, you know, I was going along great, you know, in my 40s and my early 50s and things were fine and I was ready to go. And now, you know, obviously we've gotten hit with some bad situations. And so it's way too late for me to start over. What do you say to somebody like that?
Well, we don't want them to have to start over. But if they've got, you know, enough to invest, you know, and they won't lose it, at least over here. So it's not going to go down. The investment's not going down with us. So I think that's the conservative part for them, is if they put it in a life settlement, they know they'll get their money back. They know they'll get their interest back because it's in a life insurance policy. It's not invested with us. It's in a life insurance policy. And the bank handles all the details. That's what I love.
Is 55 too late to start? Does that leave enough room for people to build?
No, 55 is a great age because that gives you 10 to 15 years that you can invest. So you should have some serious money by that time.
So how does it work? Do people get into one policy? Because this is not the type of thing where somebody should plan on investing in one policy and then they're ready to retire. That's not how this works. It's not set up that way.
No, you have to have several policies to make it work because if you've just got one policy, $100,000, it'll take a long time, you know. But if you've got $300,000, $400,000, it's not going to take so long. You'll be doing good.
Okay. So what do you say? And I know we haven't talked about it in a while. It takes 7 years?
Yeah, it'll take 7 or 8 years right now.
Okay. All right. So that's not bad. I mean, I guess the upside is, yeah, it takes a little bit of time. It's not going to happen overnight. But once you get started, it is on that slow trajectory that constantly moves up because of the type of investment, because it's a life settlement, because it's a life insurance policy, doesn't lose its value regardless of what happens anywhere. If, you know, say if the market was to crash, you know, on Tuesday morning at 8:30 and the whole bottom fell out, anybody that's in a life settlement is going to hold their investment. The value stays, right?
That's exactly right. Their investment will stay. It's steady. It's not going to move. The value of a life policy never goes down. So that's why you'll always get your principal back. You'll always get your interest. It's not like in the stock market. You may not get all your principal back. You may not get all your interest back. You don't know. I mean, some days it looks up, and then the other days everybody's in a complete panic.
Yeah. With this, people
and we don't
just
want
wait.
Anybody panicking. That's why they're with us, and they don't have any panic attacks.
Yeah, that's important.
I mean, you know, that's right. I mean, it just goes right along. They don't have to go get their in their pickup, grab their cell phone. They don't have to, you know, be seeing what the investment's worth that day. So it takes a lot off your mind.
Yeah.
You know, it gives you peace of mind while you're investing, really.
There's virtually no maintenance that anybody has to do. I mean, once you're in, it's really just waiting. They don't have to do anything. It doesn't take time, right?
No, it does not. It's not intensive. In other words, you pull up your account, look at it, or you have a send you a copy of your accounts, and you know what's going on. You know every time a policy is matured. You know what you've made that year. So, you know, it works very good.
And this is all wonderful, but there, what's the downside? There's three big risks that people need to know about going in.
That's right. And the biggest risk of all, of course, is the fact that it can go over and you're going to have to pay some premium. And our normal premium is not that high. On those old policies, it was and is. I'm not going to tell you it wasn't. But usually the premium is very small. We try to always do 3% or under where it won't be high. And so really that risk is not as great as other things in life, because if you don't have enough money to pay a premium of $1,000, you shouldn't even be in this. But our people are all accredited, so it doesn't matter to them. You know, they're in great shape. Then the second risk is it is not liquid till the people die. It is not liquid while we're waiting for a maturity. And then the third risk is if a life insurance company ever went under. And we've talked about this from week to week. We've never had a life company go under that I know of in Texas. And then on the national scene, somebody would buy it instantly because of the large, large premium income they have.
And one thing to point out is when you talk about these policies going over with that biggest risk, the premiums that they would have to pay are relatively small. And because I think people hear that and they say, oh, my goodness, you know, if I have to pay a premium, those can be hugely expensive and it's going to wipe out my profit margin. But that's not the case.
No, it's not the case at all. The premiums are small enough. And that's another thing. When you sign up for this policy, it tells you what the premium is going to be. It tells you what the percentage is going to be. So you know all that in advance going into the policy.
And it's also worth noting that that's one of the factors, or I should say, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's one of the factors that you're taking into consideration when you're looking at these policies. It's like, okay, what is the premium going to be? Is it cutting too much into the profit margin? Is it not a good investment? And if it is, you don't even bid on it, right? So that's one of the factors you're looking at.
And like we started to bid on a policy about a month ago, and the premium was high. So we turned it down. It came back to us this week, and the lady had a rider on it that we didn't even know about because we had, you know, stopped the proceeding. She had a rider on there that if she got sick to a certain point, it kicks in and pays all the premium. So now we're buying that policy because there's no premium.
That's a big deal. That's a game changer.
It is a big deal. There's no premium whatsoever. So every once in a while, somebody has that rider on their life policy. It's a great rider because if you get really sick and you've got cancer, it's another thing you don't have to worry about is losing that policy while you're sick.
Yeah, and it's great for investors as well. So about upcoming policies? You said you've got a number of them that are on the table, right?
That's right. We bought about $2.5 million worth of policies this week. Some of them are small and some of them are like $1 million. They're all good policies. I picked them out, so you know I think they're good. And we'll be putting people in them starting next week.
Cool. All right. And are you doing business on Monday for Memorial Day, or are you closed?
No, we're closed on Memorial Day, always.
Okay. And so for people to get started and make an appointment to come see you, what is their number what is your number for them to call?
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
You've been listening to Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Fay Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.